go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 72 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Have another co-host for this episode. Say hello to Willow. She's a Bichon. She's shaking very much on my lap right now. She's a little nervous. She's never been in the studio, never seen the setup. Those avid fans of Verbal Graffiti may remember that a few weeks ago, I was dog-sitting two dogs, not this one, but another one who died due to my negligence, drowned in a pool. I wasn't in the yard with her, although she was very elderly, and I blame the death on her, not myself. Though they were allowing me to watch another dog. So if something tragic happens to Willow, which I don't think it will because she's on my lap 24/7, not my fault. Not my fault. My belief is, I use an analogy, if you're a child care worker, if you're a nanny, if you're a babysitter, if you put on your resume that a child under your care died, and then the parents still hire you to watch their child, and their child dies. As the caregiver, you can say, look, I put it on my resume that babies are prone to die when I'm watching them. You knew that. I did not hide that information. Therefore, that death is on you, not on me. And that's how I am with Willow. A dog has died under my care very, very recently, within the last month or two. So we're going to watch out for this one, though, because I'm a little bit closer to this one than the other one. Not that there was anything wrong with the other dog that passed away. Just I met her when she was very, very old and decrepit and peeing and pooping all over the studio and would never stay still. This one, Willow's 10 years old, been with her almost her entire life. She was about wee big when I first met her, so we're going to take good care of her, and, you know, she's going to be the co-host for this episode, and maybe next. We'll see how she deals with the spotlight. She is an attention whore, though. She's always looking for a lap to lay on and a nose to lick, and yes, I do kiss dogs because I am a lover, but now enough about Willow as she lovingly licks my fingers, which I washed my fingers before this episode. Don't know why I said that. We just got to get to it. We got to get to what is on my mind. It's this baseball playoffs. I am a Yankee fan, as many of you know. Turned on our first playoff game, Yankee playoff game that is, and saw a big advertisement on their batting helmet, Strauss. Don't know what that company is. My sister looked them up. I guess they're a German apparel company, maybe a sporting apparel company. So in that sense, the advertisement did work. I did not know what the company was. Now I do. They will not be getting any of my money to this day, to the end of my life. I despise that company, Strauss, because they are the first ones, I believe, to be on baseball helmets. And as I was watching Aaron Judge strike out again, once more in the playoffs, the image of Strauss on the batting helmet was jarring. I could not pay attention to the baseball game. I look for it all year, October baseball. If you're a Yankee fan, that's when your season begins. October 1st, when they're crisp in the air, when you got the little banners on you know, the second level of Yankee Stadium, the red, white, blue ones. That's when baseball, that's real baseball if you're a Yankee fan. And I couldn't enjoy it because this stupid German company had their logo on my players' batting helmets. And the logo was larger than NY in front of the batting helmet. And I just, in my soul, I know, and you know, if you're a fan, if you're a sports fan, if you're a sports dweeb like myself, you know where this is leading. Like, you know, we're creeping on NASCAR. I was reminiscing with my sister Muffy about when you'd go to a Yankee game and there would never be any advertisements on the back wall, on the home run wall, because that was Bush League. That was minor league. That was teams that were and who couldn't pay the salaries of their players. That was a Bush League move. And now you go to every baseball stadium in America, and there's hardly, you can't even see a clear spot of the wall. It's all advertisements. And then was it a year or two ago, you would have the one advertisement, the Yankees, they have a star insurance on like the arm. And now we have the batting helmet, and it's only a matter of time. I mean, we might as well call them the New York Strauss, because the logo, like I said, is bigger than the NY logo. You go to Yankee Stadium, the Delta sign in center field is larger than Yankee Stadium sign. We might as well call it Delta Stadium New York Strauss. And put little Yankees underneath, because that's what we are now. It's a disgrace to the game. It's a disgrace to the organization. It's a spit in the face to us fans that pay our money to pay for a $14 Heineken 24-ounce can when we go to see the game. It's very disheartening. I mean, come on, nobody likes this. Nobody likes this. Strauss, fuck you. Fuck Germany. I'm never traveling there ever again. Never been. Never going to go because I'm angry with them. This is very... If you're Nike, I think Nike was last year, maybe 2 years ago, they paid the rights to have the Yankee MLB uniform. So Nike makes all the uniforms for MLB. They put their logo, I think it's on the chest and on the pants. And now these other companies are paying money to put their advertisements on the baseball helmets. That's gotta piss off Nike. It's like, well, we paid all this money to have the rights to the uniforms, and now this other entity is coming and putting their logo on the uniforms we're making for you. If I'm a Nike executive, who's the guy who owns Nike? I'm calling the Yankees GM. I'm calling Brian Cashman. I'm calling the baseball. Who's the main guy in baseball? I can't think of the word. It is, I got that mind fog. Maybe I got that long COVID. But, you know, he's calling all the owners going, hey, what the fuck? What? I paid you billions of dollars for your uniforms, and now you're letting these foreign entities disgrace these uniforms? Terrible. I'll tell you, as soon as I saw that Strauss, I could not pay attention to the at-bats. And what I also could not pay attention to is, I just know this is coming to football. Because if it's happening with the baseball helmets, you know damn right, it's going to come next year, NFL, they're going to have logos on their helmets as well. Hopefully it doesn't go to college football, because some of those, you know, the Michigan helmet. And the imagine having a Notre Dame, the Golden Dome, the Golden Helmet, with a logo on it from some company that probably allows their employees to get abortions. And I don't give a fuck whether you get an abortion or not, but, you know, Notre Dame, Catholic school, Catholics kind of against that. It's spit in the face to America. It's kicking us in the balls. It's saying, it's doing away with tradition. I'm sounding like an old geezer now complaining about baseball and how it used to be and how sports used to be. If you watch football, you know on the back of the helmets, they have the American, mini American flag. They'll have, you could put a flag of whatever country you originate from, and then you could also have a like social rights slogan on the back of your helmet. So it's only a matter of time. And since they've done with baseball, it's only a matter of, we're counting down the months till, I bet you in the playoffs this year, the NFL playoffs, there will be logos on the helmets from companies we've never heard of. Sports, man, they're just grabbing every dollar from us they can. I have another baseball take. We'll wait till the second segment for that. Let's get to it. This one comes from the subreddit Advice. Simple as it gets. Let's give this lady some advice. All right, let's read it. How you doing, Willie? Oh, you're calm down. Good for you. All right, from the subreddit Advice. I've been offered money by a guy I know to masturbate for him. Need advice. Believe she spelled masturbate incorrectly, but that's a difficult word. Maybe I've been spelling it incorrectly my entire life. All right, on to the post. Focus, B-man, focus. I'm 21, female. Oh, beautiful. He genuinely is a really nice guy that I've met online, and we talk regularly on phone calls and stuff. He is quite older than me and isn't from the same country as me. It has happened before where we started a normal conversation and one thing led to another because I guess I kind of into it. Not him, but more the masturbating stuff. He has now offered me lots of money to do it again. I'm really nervous, but also can't stop thinking about saying yes. My nerves are just in the way. Or is it just a sign I shouldn't say yes? Please, need advice. Is my camera on? Yes. What a weird world we live in. Read that paragraph again to yourself. And if you lived in the 90s, 70s, pre-2000, that paragraph, you'd be like, what fucking world are we living in where we have a 21-year-old talking to a stranger from a different country they've never met, but they've connected enough and they talk enough on the phone where this babe, this 21-year-old female at her sexual market peak feels comfortable enough with this elderly gentleman to masturbate on the phone. On the phone with him. Like she's a, those of you who are elderly know, like a 1990s 1-900 sex operator. She's comfortable. Like back in the day, you had to call a number and put in your credit card number to get a phone call like this. But 2024, if you got the bandwidth, you could sneak on someone else's internet. This is what happens. All right. So I was reading through the replies on this Reddit post, and everybody, to a man, to a lady, was saying, don't do it. They're saying, this is a scam. This guy is going to take this video of you masturbating. It's going to end up on the internet, and then you're going to be embarrassed. You're never going to find employment. You know where I'm going with it. If you're a fan of verbal graffiti, if your mind is like my mind, I'm saying go for it. 100% dive deep. Your fingers dive between your legs for this guy. You got to do it. Let me tell you why. The thing is, like I mentioned previously, you're 21, all right? You know what? Now, let's backtrack a little bit. Let's for a moment focus on all the naysayers, all the Debbie Downers, the wet blankets who are telling you not to do this, that this is going to be a scam, that you're going to be embarrassed, that your family's going to disown you. Who are these people? Who are these naysayers? I'll tell you who they are. They're nobodies. Do you know their name? No. What are they doing? They're reading Reddit and they're replying to strangers they've never met, giving advice. Well, B-Man, I'm in front of the camera. I'm letting everybody know who I am. I'm not afraid to tell you what the advice should be. I'm not hiding behind a pseudonym on Reddit or some other social media app. No, I'm here showing you my beautiful, beautiful bald head. Not a Nazi, not a white nationalist. Just, I look better with a shaved head. I don't know why I just disclosed that, but... These people are nobodies. Two generations from now, all these naysayers saying, don't do it. Don't masturbate for this guy for a hefty fee that he's willing to pay. Nobody's going to remember these people two generations from now. None of them are going to be in the history books. They're losers. They're forgettable. They will not be remembered probably 50 years from now. Their lives, they're NPCs. They're making... anywhere between $50,000 and $150,000 a year. They have a boss they have to CC on every email. They waste their weekends going to the Little League baseball field to watch their kid play, and their kid will never become a major leaguer. He'll probably not even make single-A baseball. He'll probably quit baseball when he's 12 and get moderate, average grades. Maybe he goes to college. Maybe he ends up making a job himself, making $50,000 to $150,000 a year, and the cycle will repeat itself. The kid will be nobody just like the parent telling you not to do this. These NPCs, they're not inventors. They're not doers. They're not creators. They spend their weekends, their free time, wasting it, watching Netflix and bemoaning the fact that there aren't any good movies being made anymore, even though they don't try to make movies themselves. They just complain and take without giving anything back. They're nobodies. There never was, as they say in The Mighty Ducks, if you know, go Bombay. Or no, it wasn't Bombay. It was the other coach that he had that said that Bombay was and never was. Mm-hmm. Sidetrack. Apologies for that. The B-Man and I do that quite often. What I'm saying is, don't listen to these people. Their lives are so miserable that they don't want you to have any fun. And you said yourself, you have fun masturbating for strangers, like semi-friends, strangers that you've never met. That's kind of a kink you have. That's what you learn. So why not get the bag for it? That's what I'm here. Hey, have you looked at the economy? Have you looked at LinkedIn? Have you looked at, have you tried? You're 21. Start applying for some jobs, and you'll find out that you're probably not going to find a high-salary job, especially at the age of 21. So get all the money you can with the looks you have. Apparently, you must have a beautiful, sexy 1-900 number sex operator voice that this elderly gentleman in another land is willing to pay you a good sum of money. I say take the bag and buy a Louis Vuitton handbag with the bag that you get from this guy. So what if the naysayers are correct and this guy's scamming you and he puts it on the internet? Who cares? You're 21. You're beautiful. You got a great, sexy voice. So this ends up on the internet. You know what's going to happen with you? Father Time, who is undefeated. I have these little wrinkles right here, right now, because I'm 40. I'm trying to use facial cream to get rid of them. But Father Time's going to win, and he's going to win with you, too. 30 years from now, you'll be 51. You'll probably have a body that resembles mashed potatoes. You're going to be so disgusted when you look at yourself when you're showering that you'll have the ability to go on your computer and look at this video you made when you were 21, when you were at your peak physically, and it will be a self-esteem boost to you. You can look at this video and go, wow, look at that, look how hot I was. I was 21. I was masturbating on camera that there was a stranger on the other side of the world who was giving me thousands of dollars to do this. Like, yeah, maybe I'm past my prime, but I did have my prime. And there was a day when I was one of the hottest pieces of asses walking this God's green earth. So sometimes you need that as a self-esteem boost. As I get older, as some of you get older, I'm sure you look in the mirror and you're just, you're disgusted with the way you look. So to have a video of you diddling yourself at the beautiful age, the beautiful prime, fertile age of 21, go for it. Don't hold back. And those nerves that you have, I find in my life that anytime I get nervous, that's like my body, my immune system is telling me, those nerves are telling me I'm nervous because I want to do it. It took me years to start doing stand-up comedy because I was petrified. I would go to a venue, I'd be in a parking lot, I'd be shaking, and you know what, next week I'll go up. And I'd go home like a little pussy that I am, and then the next week I'd come back, and eventually I got up on stage. But the nerves, I was nervous because I wanted to do stand-up. And same thing with everything else. Oh, that hot babe who's with all her fatty friends. Oh, I'm nervous. I don't want to go up and say hi to her. No, I wanted to go. They pass through the nerves. Oh, I don't want to move to New York City to do stand-up because I'm nervous. Like, well, no, those nerves are telling me I want to go to New York City. Oh, I'm nervous to ask my supervisor for a raise. No, I'm nervous because I want it, because I think I deserve it. At any time, see, when you get to, it took me a little longer than it should have. So you're 21. Hopefully you learn this a lot sooner than me. Those nerves that you get, you gotta You got to like run through those nerves like it's the Oklahoma drill. If you know football, you know, you just got to plow through and jump into those nerves because I'm kind of stumbling over my words. It's like when you have these nerves, when you're able to fight through, that's when your life becomes interesting. That's when you start to live a life you want to live, a life that others look at and go, wow, I can't believe you did that. Like that took a lot of courage. So those nerves that you're getting in your body, they're telling you you want to do this. So don't turtle up. No. Just spread those legs and get the bag from this guy. And if he does put it on the internet, like who gives a fuck, right? Like you're hot, and maybe your family disowns you, but if your voice and your moaning and your sex noises are as appealing as this foreigner, this elderly foreigner that you've never met believes it to be, you'll just make an OnlyFans account and make so much money that having your family disown you, brush it off. Like, let live and let live. Like, leave your family behind and show the world those vagina lips of yours. One more thing I gotta say though, if this guy is truly a friend of yours, why would he even contemplate charging him money? If you really like if you two have phone calls all the time and you know one thing's led to another, you're both a little horny, end up touching yourself and it's a kink you found that you enjoy and your friend enjoys, like why would you charge him money? Like if this guy's really a friend, like I wouldn't charge him money for this. Like you've done it for free, so don't do it every phone call, but I leave money aside. Once you introduce money to the friendship ceases to be a friendship. It's a business arrangement, a sexual arrangement for a fee. So that will probably put an end to the friendship. So from one guy to another, you're a lady, but to your guy friend, your pervy, from one perv to another perv, like don't charge him money. Do it for free. Be a real friend to him. Also want to say, if you do this for money, you are a whore. Just, you got to know, like, if you're doing something sexual for money, you're a whore. You're a 304. That's what you are. Again, as we say here at Verbal Graffiti, we are pro-whore here at Verbal Graffiti, but others may not view you in such a positive light. But again, we're lovers of the whore. 304 here at Verbal Graffiti. There was something else I wanted to say. We'll get to. I'm getting ready for Halloween. So I want to share with all of you now how I've been preparing for Halloween this year, 2024. Verbal Graffiti, episode 72, segment 2. Me, Willow, back at you, or is it Willow and I? Not positive the correct way to say that. What is the proper English? This ain't English class, so let's move forward. It's my nose a bit. I am noticing when I film these episodes, my nose starts to itch constantly. I'm not sure if it's allergies. It's not cocaine. I do not do cocaine. For someone who does not do cocaine, I say I don't do cocaine quite often. I don't know why that is. Let's keep moving it forward. Willow's falling asleep. She's already bored. That's not a good sign going forward for this episode. I am noticing that when I do film these episodes of Verbal Graffiti, that sometimes there's a theme that goes throughout the episode that kind of, you could start at the end, you start at the beginning and go, oh yeah, that makes sense. That it all melts together. This episode, it happens to be baseball. First segment, I was complaining, I was bitching, I was moaning about the advertisements on batting helmets. You know what I'm going to be talking about with all my friends for the upcoming few weeks till the World Series. Another thing about baseball that has bothered me for years, the catcher. The catcher needs to be able to protect home plate. That plate is his. He owns that plate. If you want to score on him, he should be allowed. that major league catchers should be allowed to stand in front of the plate and force the base runner to run him over and knock the ball out of his hand. If you watch baseball today, not positive when this rule changed, but this is now, it's against the baseball rules for a catcher to block home plate. Let me say that again, for those of you who are not baseball fans. Okay, how does this make sense? The catcher owns home plate. That is his property. That is his plate. That is his home. And when an invader, a base runner, tries to come in, he's not allowed to get in front of that plate and protect it. That is ridiculous. That is un-American. That is, it's emasculating. If you watch baseball, old highlights from the 70s, 80s, even before 60s, 40s, pre-World War II, the most entertaining play in baseball was a base runner just barely down home, a catcher waiting to get the ball from outfield. He gets it, puts his catcher's mitt right in front of his chest as the base runner runs him over, and then we see if the catcher was man enough to hold on to the ball or not. That is the most entertaining playing baseball, and they took it away from us because it's dangerous. The catcher might get hurt. Well, the catchers, Major League Baseball, if you don't know, the players have a very strong union. Of all the sports, American sports, the baseball's player union is probably the strongest among them. I am of the belief now that the players' union for baseball has to be broken up into position players. So the pitchers need to have their own union. The hitters have to have their own union. And catchers, because it's a different mindset to be a catcher. So if you're going to be a catcher, they should have their own union. There's no way catchers like this. There's no way catchers like having to stand in front of the plate, maybe not like in front, but to the side, like 4 or 5 feet, and then have to catch the ball and then dive into home plate with just the mitt and try to, you know, touch the inner thigh of the base runner as he's sliding in home. There's no, I don't know any catchers personally, but if you get all 30, I don't know how many catchers are there in Major League Baseball now. If you get all like 65 of them and you ask them man to man, do you want to stand in front of the home plate? You want to have that base runner have to run you over to score a run? They'll all say yes. And if they say no, put them in the outfield. They should not be a catcher and they should not be a big league catcher. It's the emasculation of Major League sports. I like seeing people get concussions. You're not supposed to say that. I love watching receivers run through the middle of the field and get lit up. I like seeing heads bounce off the ground. But I like watching it for the aesthetics of it. It's not that I want them to get hurt, but I like the competition. I want the catcher to be able to protect what is his. That home plate is his. And the fact that he can't stand right in front of that's an affront to him from the higher entities that he doesn't even see in the field. From the guys and ladies in the suits in the headquarters in New York City or wherever the headquarters of Major League Baseball is. They're taking away his ability to protect what is his. The fact that we're all kumbaya with that, nah. The B-man, catchers need to be allowed to protect home plate. That is theirs. That should be theirs for eternity. If you want that run, you got to run me over. You got to knock that ball out of my glove. It's the feminization of sports. Is there do catchers get paid a lot of money? Does it elongate their career? Is it safer for them to step on the field knowing that they're not going to get run over? Yes. But it's not fun. And it's not competitive that a catcher has to just tiptoe out of the way and let somebody, an opposing player on the opposite team in the opposite dugout, just slide in and they both have to dive at the same time. What is that? That's not baseball. That's Bush League. We might as well just let players hit off a tee. Why let pitchers pitch? Why don't we just let, you know, why doesn't the hitter's dad pitch underhand? Don't let anyone throw the ball 95 miles an hour. He might get hit with the ball. This is so... I've expressed my point of view on this topic. It also bothers me that baseball players wear the half face mask thing so you can't see their face. It's like, you're a big leaguer. You don't need that little mask on your cheek. It's like one person gets hit in the face once every 3 years. Get rid of that little piece. You're a big leader. If someone throws a ball high and in, which no one ever does in baseball anymore, Move your head back. You don't need that little face guard right there. I want to see your face. I want to see the expression. I want to see the big league chew in your cheek as that 98 mile per hour slider is coming in at your face. Baseball, bring back your soul. Fight for it. Don't let the corporate entities take it away from you. This is your sport. Defend it. Catchers, make your own union. Protect your home plate. That's your home. That's your plate. Let's move forward. Another advice one, if I could get my phone open correctly while I was sleeping. All right. I'm obviously not entertained. She disagrees with my catcher point viewpoint, but hey, you know, agree to disagree. All right. This one comes from the subreddit Sex Workers. Another theme, fisting. I have a client wants to try fisting my vagina. Once upon a time, it would have been a hard no for me, but I have given birth vaginally, so maybe I could handle it. Any advice? My advice to you is get a Cadillac health plan. You need to charge this guy upcharge this guy quite a bit. I'm not sure what your normal rate is, because I don't really get prostitutes, but you gotta at least triple the charge. If you're charging him 100, you gotta charge him three bills, because this is quite a task. It's going to take some work from you. And my third bit of advice is get a gynecologist that you trust, and when you allow your John to perform the fisting Mike Tyson uppercut in your vagina, do it during normal business hours. So if there is an incident where the vagina, I don't know, gets stuck inside of you, or there's an injury while he's trying to perform the act on you, the sex worker, do it during business hours so that you can have your gynecologist on call and see him or her ASAP when this happens. You don't want this to be happening at midnight and then have it to wait till 8:30 a.m. to go into the office and do whatever gynecologists do when they see a vagina stuck. Or sorry, a man's fist stuck in a vagina. I have a great, fantastic, some even say a closing joke about fisting vaginas. Not going to say it here. If you want to hear that joke, you're going to have to come see me do stand-up comedy live. But this isn't about me. This is about you getting that Mike Tyson uppercut to the hooch. I mean, if your logic does follow the scientific method, you had a baby come out of your vagina, therefore it would seem that you would be able to take a fist up inside of your vagina. Baby out, fist in. As long as the guy has a normal size hand, me, I have little petite, icky, like women fingers, so my fist would be easy inside of you. As long as this guy's not a NFL quarterback with 10 and a half inch hands, if he's just a normal John, average, you know, 5'9", 6'1", under 225 pounds, you should be able to get in time to fit this fist inside of you. It's my nose one more time. You need to work at this, though. This is not, tomorrow night, pay me three bills, let's do this. You need to put some work physically and mentally. I'm going to compare this to a marathon. Okay, I've ran one marathon. I have some family members who run marathons quite a bit each year. It running a marathon is more mental than it is physical. Physically, all it really is 1 foot in front of the other. You keep doing that for 4 to 5 to 6 hours, you run 26.2 miles. It's more of a mental competition because 26 miles seems daunting. It seems impossible. You know, you start training and you get yourself to a point where you do 10 to 12 miles, you're exhausted. You're thinking there's no way you could do like that times two and a little bit more. But you continue the training. And once you get to like 16 miles, and then you look back at, well, I used to struggle at six, and now I do 16, and now I only have 10 more. Like, this is in your mind, like that's where you're able to convince yourself that you can do the marathon. That is the mental game, the mental training that's needed for a marathon. Same with fisting your snatch. Right now, this seems impossible for you, although you did say you took a baby out of you, so you're mentally, you're starting to get there, but we need to work physically as well. First thing is you need to learn how to control your breathing. Look to people who do yoga and monks, people who do a lot of breathing exercises. Think of all these yoga instructors who can put themselves into like a pretzel type position and hold it for minutes at a time with ease. The reason why they're able to do that, put their body in such a cumbersome position and be calm while in that position, is because of their breathing. They train their breathing. So that's what you got to do. Go on YouTube, find some breathing exercises, train. It may take you a month, it may take you 6 months, but you learn how to control your breathing. And then when you feel comfortable with the breathing and being able to control your breathing and just, you know, be one with your body with a breathe in, breathe out, then you want to start putting things in and out of your vagina. We're going to start small. All right. We're going to use fruits. All right. So a fist is about the size, a male fist, about the size of a moderate-sized grapefruit. That's the end point. Where we're going to start is a kiwi. Get yourself a little kiwi, put it inside a condom, lube it up, put it in your vagina, put it out. That should not be too hard because you are a sex worker that's also given birth vaginally. We're going to move up we start with a kiwi, so we're going to move on from a kiwi to a tangerine. Same thing, put a condom for, you know, safety, health reasons, lube it up, in, out. Now we start doing the game a little bit. Now we're going to go to a avocado. You take an avocado, again, in condom, lube it up. Can you get while you're controlling your breathing, can you get the avocado in and out relatively easily? If you do that, fantastic. From there, we go to an orange, a chemically enhanced orange, ones that had a lot of pesticide. So, you know, one of those big oranges, smaller than grapefruit, but bigger than a normal size orange. Take that, again, a condom, lube it up. When you can get the orange in and out of you, a pain-free, all right, now we're getting to the point where maybe you can play the game with real human beings. This is the last one I want you to do. When you can do this one, you can be confident you can take a man's fist, a John's fist. I want you to take a tomato, a regular-sized tomato. Reason why it's tomato, because a tomato is soft. That's why we're using a tomato. It's easy to squeeze. So what you want to do, again, put the tomato inside a condom, lube it up. You want to be able to put that tomato inside your snatch without it squeezing and crushing. You don't want that. Like, you don't want the tomato going inside your vagina and becoming like a Gallagher act. If you know Gallagher, the comedian, RIP, the Gallagher was a comedian who would, he just put a watermelon on stage, smash it with a sledgehammer, and that was his act. That's what you're trying to avoid with this tomato. You don't want it in your snatch and just kind of, you know, crunching up like a pimple, popping like a pimple. When you can take the tomato and put it in and out of your vagina like floss without it crushing, just in, out, without it, you could take it in, take it out without the tomato crushing in on itself. That is the point where I feel confident that you should have the confidence to take a man's fist for a lot of money. And when you do get to this point, and I have the utmost confidence that you will get to the point physically and mentally where you feel capable of taking a fist, do remember to put this on your sex worker resume that you are able to take a fist. Use your John, not put his fist inside of you, this John. Use him as a reference. Ask him first. Be polite. Hey, can I use you as a business reference? You put your fist inside of my vagina. So put it on your sex worker resume. And again, charge a lot of money. And that, if that's on your resume, that hey, I can take a fist, you'll be booked out for months in advance. And that will put you above every other sex worker in your community, in which whatever community it is you live. You will not have to worry about a recession. Your vagina will be recession proof because you can take a fist while nobody else can. So make sure you let all the Johns know that you're taking uppercuts to the snatch. And I hope you're able to take many a fist going forward with your sex work endeavor. I almost forgot. Okay, we're going to continue reading The Salesman's Wife by John Lawrence. I've been contemplating whether I want to continue to do this at the end of the episodes or make it maybe like a separate Instagram account for it. What I really want to do is they make another studio just to read erotic literature from the 1970s. If you go back early on my Instagram feed, I read a page outside on a trail. Doing that was very time consuming, and building another studio, I don't have a lot of space in this studio, so I'm trying to figure it out. I'm contemplating. It's in my head. But for now, we're just going to read it at the end of the episode. And then I'm going to upload that as a short on the social media sites. But anyway, you know, I'll let you know what's developing as it's being developed, if I can develop it. But for now, yeah, we're reading. Salesman's Wife, page by John Lawrence, page 11. 11 and 12. "It's okay, honey," he whispered reassuringly. "It's okay. Just relax. Everything is going to be all right." Despite his words, however, Pamela found herself growing steadily more anxious. Her mind reeled with stormy thoughts. This is evil. Sinful. He's like an animal, a filthy animal. Don't give in to him. It's dirty. Vile. "No," she groaned in response. "No." Then suddenly, her head began to pound with the beat of 1,000 savage drums, and she drew back from his, raising her hands to her temples, trying to ease the throbbing. "What's wrong?" Alan asked, with a certain edginess in his voice. It's a headache," she replied meekly. "I don't know why I get them so often. I'm sorry." Her husband drew back coldly and sat up on the bed. "I know why," he said. "It's the sex. You don't want to make love to me." "It's not that," she protested. "I do want to make love to you, but something keeps stopping me. I can't seem to get over it." Alan lit a cigarette and began pacing about the carpeted floor of his bedroom. His cock was still hard, and he yearned to plunge it into the wet, warm depths of her pussy. But now he was being denied his right as a husband once again. And the weeks of constant frustration began to mount within him with terrifying force. "Pamela, it's the same thing over and over again," he said. How long is this going to go on? It's not a headache. It's a backache or an earache. For God's sake, what's wrong? Don't you want me? Alan, don't say that, she cried. You know I want you. I love you. Maybe I need some kind of help. Inwardly, Alan seethed at the remark. What you need is a good fuck, he thought bitterly. All this fear and sickness. Christ, with a body like that, you could be the most exciting wife a man ever had. Instead, you freeze up like ice whenever I touch you and get a goddamn headache or something. He remembered how she always turned away when he took his clothes off and wouldn't even touch his penis. She insisted the lights be off whenever they made love and lay inert, hardly responding to his lovemaking. He was sick of it now and sick of having to go over it time and time again. He resented it even more when he remembered the chicks he could have if he weren't married. Chicks who were only too ready to climb into the sack with him if he gave them the nod. But he was a married man and was struggling to be true to his vows of fidelity. But he also knew he had to have a full masculine release. He had to. Go suck a fat one.